you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Shadow fam. This is Catherine McNamara. We love being your host for Return to the Shadows, reliving old memories and going back to the good old days of Shadowhunters. So we're excited to share a very special announcement. We are teaming up with Moment for an exciting live episode of the podcast. It will have all of your favorite things, BTS stories, Klace lore, and of course, Dom and me. Nothing mundane, we promise. And the best part is there will be a live chat for some Q&A, some games, and more. By the angel, we can't wait. Tickets are on sale now at moment.co/returntotheshadows. See you March 22nd.
Hey, buddy.
Yo, what's going on? Look at you guys.
How's it going?
I think the last time the three of us were all together alone was when Kat scared the shit out of us.
Dude, no kidding, eh? We should get into that, because that arguably is the worst. Like, I have night terrors. Like, I have full night terrors about that.
I'm very sorry.
We should talk about the new look, first of all. I want to dive in. Yes, I want to go in strong with the new look. This beard is really something.
Long. Yeah, it's
bravo,
crazy.
Bravo, sir.
I'm a jealous boy. I'm a jealous boy right now. That's where I'm at.
It's out of control.
It looks great.
Is this by choice, or is this for something?
No. Well, I mean, not that I wouldn't do it, it's for the show. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, welcome back, folks, to Return to the Shadows. Today we have one of the most special guests that we could possibly have on this show. He is Papa Wolf. He is the dad of not only the cast, but the fandom, and one of our all-time favorite people. Please welcome Isaiah Mustafa.
Yo, what's going on, fandom? Hey.
Buddy, you're just started. You're going to have to back up. The dog, none of you guys.
Oh, yes.
The dog.
He's like,
I know there's another dog on here. I want to see what's going on.
He can smell it. He can smell it a mile away, or 5,000 miles away. Or are you in LA? Are you in California?
No, I'm in Toronto. So
you're back in the Toronto. Stomping ground. Oh,
you know,
I
got
that.
Some crazy shit to tell you guys. So I'm back in Toronto on a show, and we shoot in the exact same studio as Shadowhunters.
No.
And we have literally Vibs is our trailer PA or AD.
There's no way.
Verity is there. Nancy is there. Natalie is there. Jen is there, all from hair and makeup.
Wow.
Brandon and Angel are there doing props.
Yo!
Heather's in the production office. It is crazy. Like, it's almost eerie, because there's so many people that are like around. Yeah, like we have so many people from the first season and like the last two seasons of Shadowhunters, like, that are working there. It's nuts.
You're living the dream, man. That's amazing.
It was wild, man. Like, it's weird. It's weird.
How is it being back in Toronto? Like, I'm sure so much has changed. So, you know, are there old haunts there? Are there restaurants you still go to? Or is it just all brand new?
The skyline's changed a little bit, but mostly, you know, it hasn't changed. Like, it's the same stuff. Like, I could go to the same places that we always went, and they're still there. Yeah. Oh, but I forgot to mention also, Brian is also head of makeup. So,
no way.
Dude, it's crazy. It is crazy. But anyway, I didn't want to leave Brian out lest he watch this and go, like, thank you, motherfucker, for leaving me out. Because I'm going to see him.
Just forget
tomorrow.
Concealer yeah, one day yeah, with yeah, you. Yeah, not that you totally, need it. Not that you totally. Need anything.
No, but I get it. Yeah. But yeah, like the only thing that's been closed are like hot yoga places. Like, that's the only place that's because of the pandemic, those closed.
Yeah.
What else? I'm living in the same apartment building on the same floor, just a different apartment. It's crazy.
No.
Sick,
way.
Man.
Yeah, it's nuts. That is same wild. Same apartment as the first season that we were here.
Oh yeah. Those are really
you had,
nice.
It wasn't an apartment. It was like a house, sort of a little further out.
The third
raccoons.
Season I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
The third season I had like a small like it was like a townhouse. Yeah.
With the raccoons.
Cool. With the raccoons. Yeah. The raccoon. Yeah. Fuck those raccoons.
Lisa's leaving. Lisa's here right now.
Bye,
she's going
Lisa.
To
Bye,
Lisa. Get her.
Bye, Lisa.
Yeah.
Miss
she
you.
Can't
yeah.
hear us. It's all dawning on me
no,
now.
She's,
we're in your headphones.
She's pregnant right now, so she's like rubbing her
no
belly.
No way!
Like,
oh my god! Congratulations!
Congratulations!
She's heading off to like a pregnant yoga class. Be careful. Text me when you get back or when you get there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Right. It's wild.
King of nonchalance. Just yeah, throwing no it out. Like.
Yeah. No, it's all good. She's like 27 weeks now, so.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty safe to say she's will be all right, you know. So
Yeah. Oh, you know, man, that's so exciting.
Yeah, fingers crossed, wishing you guys the best. Yeah. Do you have fuck the Shadowhunters stuff? Let's talk about babies.
let's talk about you and your life. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a boy. So yeah, we know this sex. It took a while to get there, but right now we're just happy we're there and we're kinda like taking it slow,
oh,
taking it's
so
easy.
Exciting.
So, you know.
Oh,
amazing,
man.
I couldn't be happier
kid.
For you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I was going to send an announcement as soon as we got to... Well, we're going to have the baby here in Toronto, so that's going to be crazy.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's going to be nuts. But yeah, as soon as we got settled in here and we're about to, you know, start in the nesting mode, I was going to send an announcement out to the group and just let you guys know what's up.
Nice.
But then again, this awesome. Is a better way to do it. So.
This is going to capture everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens with citizenship then? Like, if the baby is born in Canada, will he technically have a right to a Canadian citizenship?
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
The baby will be, I believe, dual citizenship.
That is so awesome.
I'll do some research on that. But yeah.
Make sure. But,
Watch the Border Patrol call us and be like, excuse me.
Yeah, we heard. Yeah. I used to watch Shadowhunters, and then I heard you were doing this, so I can help you out. Yeah, I was in a restaurant the other day with the cast and the producers, and I'm leaving, and this dude, he stops me, and he's like, were you on that Netflix show? And I sometimes forget that it was on Netflix, because I'm thinking freeform of them, and I was like, what Netflix show? And he goes, you know, the one with vampires, and I was like, oh, Shadowhunters. Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was. And he's like, I love that show. Like, he was like so into it.
That's
it was awesome.
So nice.
Our fans are like crazy everywhere.
I know. They're the best, man.
Yeah. They're everywhere too. Like everywhere.
Yeah. I bumped into, this is a weird one actually. So I was in a restaurant with my dad a couple of years ago, and the owner of the restaurant, in this Italian place in London, and the owner of the restaurant comes out and says, are you Dom from Shadowhunters? And I said, yeah, I am. Which is normally you can sort of see who are going to be our fans. I'd say like 80%. You're like, okay, this is one of ours. And this was like an older Italian gent who owns a restaurant. And I was like, there's no way. There's no fucking way. But sure enough, he comes over and I was like, okay, this is weird. And he goes, my son is your Italian voice for Shadowhunters. I was like, that is wild.
That's so cool.
No way. This is the weirdest thing
that's
done. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is dope.
I love that. I love those moments when you get just to be like, hi, you are me in another language. Thank you. Thank you.
That's pretty crazy.
That's so crazy. Awesome.
I was just getting off a plane in Spain. And you know how you transfer from the shuttle to like the terminal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got on there and there was like just two Shadowhunter fans. Like they were like, And I was like, man, like of all places, like this is like a little, you know, a shuttle, you know?
Yeah.
You met a friend of mine actually on an airplane on your way to Ibiza, I think. And she texted me and she was like, I'm pretty sure this is him. And she'd taken like a blurry, like weird photo. I was like, Sam, you don't need to do that. God, he's the nicest guy. Go and say hi. I promise that's better than someone creepily trying to take a photo, but they were on the same plane.
And even crazier is when you did the movie in South Africa. And then I came back. I went to South Africa. Your armorer, literally, he's like, I work with Dom, you know? And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I think I sent you a picture or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he goes like this. He goes, I was going to give you his gun, but I thought that'd be a little weird. I'm like, dude, give me the gun. Like, I'm like I go, you're building, you know, a Shadow Hunter like lore right now. Yeah. So like, you give me that. So that that way we, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. Well, if I ever, if I ever work in South Africa again, I feel like, no. I want the Dom Sherwood Isaiah Mustafa gun, please. Yeah. That's the only gun that will do. Thank you very much.
Martin loves you. Like he, that was, man, he was sweet. Like, such a fond, like the way he said it, like I was like, oh man, he's like, he was just like glowing with praise. Like he was so like happy. He's like, he was like, can I ask you a question? And I was like, yeah, what's up? He goes, you worked with Dominic Sherwood, yes?
Oh, it was that's amazing. So sweet.
The way he said it, like I was like, oh, like, wow. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah. And then he just like went into this full praise. I was just like, holy shit.
Oh man, I gotta reach out to him. Sweet. See how he's a doing. Sweetheart.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, the number of times I run into someone who goes, wait a minute, you worked with Isaiah Mustafa, didn't you? Oh, my God, he's the best guy ever. And just goes on and on about you for 20 minutes. And of course, you know, then it's a love fest on both sides. But it's amazing because you truly have done it all from... I mean, it's hard to talk about all the things that you have done because I think it's just easier to mention the things you haven't. But
I stumble into stuff all the time. Like I back into shit and I go, oh, I'm here. Okay, great.
Yeah. Fuck.
But not like when people say that normally, like, oh, I backed into like, and you know, now I canoe once a week. Like, no. What we're talking about is like you played professional American football. Like that, it's that level. Yeah. Like it's not like I backed into this thing and now I have a new hobby. Like, no, this is, I backed into it and then I'm fucking the best at it.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, youth. That's all. I was young. I had an athletic body, take advantage of it. And now I suffer from knees and stuff and whatnot, but you know, it's all good. Yeah.
But it's another chapter in this like mental series of books that's going to be your life. I say series of books because fucking how are you going to try and fit this in one book? It's going to be the Bible. Like it's going to be like people are going to open it and be like, is this double space? No, it's genuinely just 8,000 pages long.
It's just everything he's done in his life because he's just that much of a proactive, amazing dude.
It's a double-edged sword, man. I tell you, sometimes like it's like I never like to talk about stuff I've done because people just are like, seriously, like what have? And I'm like, I'm just telling the truth, but I know it sounds crazy, but I've done that, so I just never say anything because I'm like, I don't want people to feel like intimidated or anything because I may have done something that they.
That's an interesting dichotomy that we've actually mentioned before, I think, on this podcast. If not, I was talking about it with another group of friends and I can't remember. It's an interesting dichotomy. So even just in our industry, if you're talking to someone from outside of the industry, there's a level of like what is and is not appropriate to say because you don't want to sound like you're boasting about what you do. But also we work really hard and I'm very proud of what we do. Like I don't want to seem like the guy who's like, oh, well, I do this and this. But also at the same time, I kind of do want to be that guy because I work my ass off at this. You know what I mean? And I'm proud of the work.
I get it.
Tricky
little balance.
Like if, you know, for example, like, you know, we've all had like weapons training. So, you know, like guns are, you know, a touchy subject, but, you know, you have to do it if you're an actor. If you're in that kind of situation, you do have to take some training. So, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's best to do that, actually. So, it's, you know, like when you do that, you feel accomplished. You feel like, oh, I know how to handle myself with this, you know? And, and so when someone says like, you know how to shoot, you know, you're kind of like,
always the two fingers. It's never a full hand. It's always just like,
you go very slow. You're like,
100%.
No, but it's, you're right though. It's a tricky balance to sort of set when you're going, well, you know, because sometimes even to find work or to, you know, get, let people know that you are able to do the job, you sort of have to go, yeah, well, yeah, I can do that. But, and I have, and here's how, but you know, you're, you are always so good at this. And I loved watching you because when I started Shadowhunters, I was 19. I didn't know how to run a show. I didn't know how to do any of that.
It's just fucking crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We started filming like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Because you know what? I was 19 too.
Of course you were. But, you know, you'd had much more experience in the industry than I had in my 19 years, in your 19 years. So, you know, it was amazing to watch you on set with the crew. And even, you know, when we did PR stuff, every situation you came in and you handled with such grace and such poise and
with a
warmth that made everyone feel valued and welcome and seen. And I've tried to learn that from you and continue that on. But that was such No, it was really impactful at the time and you know, continues to be.
Yeah, I've been on a couple sets since then that haven't been like that. So you know, as long as you're, you know, happy, if people can be happy around you, then they like you around, you know.
Absolutely, yes, they will like you and that's good. But I feel like I am going to ditto what Kat said here a little. That's a large part of what I learned from you on set, is that responsibility, because it's not just about you and that person, whoever it is that you're indicating with in that moment. Having a general mood of positivity throughout the set helps everything move better on set.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You know,
everybody has their days too. So, but you know, like if you can try to like massage that, you know, that it works.
Yeah.
It works. Yeah. You know, you do your best to like, you're like, you know, or you catch yourself, you're like, ah, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that to her, or you say like, you know what, I'm feeling this way today. Maybe I should just not go like into the production office, so like nobody you know fires me today or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go talk to the UPM today. I'm gonna talk to them tomorrow.
you know what I've been doing a lot lately is to learn like stuff that you kind of already know. I just go, like they ask like, have you ever had this kind of training? I always say like, I have, but pretend that I know nothing and just tell me everything you know.
Super smart. Yeah.
That way you learn like, you know. You don't have the tendency to go like oh well I do it like this, like you just shut up and learn.
Just adding new bits. I think that's really smart. Now we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about this. We got to talk about Old Spice. Is that okay? Is it cool if we talk about Old Spice?
Sure.
That especially that one commercial, the first commercial, was like a worldwide phenomenon. It hit the internet everywhere. It was on RTVs here in the UK. It was all across America. Like it was everywhere in the world. And what I didn't know until I met you is that that was practical. They did everything on that practically, right? Or like 90% of that practically.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like 99% of it. There's one thing that was like not practical, and that was the diamonds falling out of my hand. But other than that, was like the only CGI in the thing. But other than that, everything was done. Like it was like a little mouse trap. Like, you know, you set the ball and it just goes and everything works.
Does its thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Some of the most like interesting and creative filmmaking just in that, what is it? Like a 30-second snippet? Maybe not even 30 seconds.
No, it was 30 seconds. That was like the trick of it, to get it all in 30 seconds. But it was frustrating and fun, and like, looking back, like I had no idea. Like I had a vision of this gas bill that was like astronomical. At least at the time, I was like, "That's an astronomical gas bill that I had to pay." And I just had visions of like, finally, I get to pay this fucking gas bill. You know what I mean? Because like, I'd not paid it for so long, and like it was just like high enough to where I was just making payments on it, you know. And then I was just like, "This job, I'm gonna pay that fucking gas bill off." So I went into it feeling like I'm just gonna pay bills. Like this is so cool. And I had no idea. And I had the girlfriend at the time. Nice person, great dancer, but just out there. And she was like, that was like the beginning of the end.
It's like, is it like one of those things where you had your gas bill was your issue, and then you fixed that and you were like, all right, what other problems have I got now? Because now I have a space in my life for another issue. What do I get?
Totally.
I feel like Isaiah's dating advice is going to be a volume two of the memoirs. Just one volume. I've come to you so many times for like, you're so good at just, I don't know. You're awesome.
We won't name names because you guys know, but my best advice would be like, do not date a cast member. That would be my best advice.
Don't date in the office. Like it's such a normal, it's such that a don't too. Date within your office.
Yeah.
Ever. People are like, well, there's no smoke without fire. And you're like, Yeah, there is. This is why these phrases exist. That's 100% totally. Smoke without fire. These are all problems that happen.
Smoke without fire all the time. It's called atmosphere. On
atmosphere.
Set. You know?
Yeah.
The irony, because that's what it creates. Atmosphere.
Totally.
That's funny.
When I first got up here, I was like single. So I was dating like just a madman. Like I was a serial dater out here. Like I was just going on dates left and right. I was using every dating app out there. Like I had them all downloaded.
Tinder I've ever swiped on is yours, because you handed it to me one day. You're like, here, have fun. I was like, ooh, this is great. I've never done this before.
Exactly. I remember that. I do remember that. Yeah. It was fun for a minute. And because I was like, you know, six on the call sheet, I had time. I had time to do all kinds of like nonsense, get into trouble, whatever. But that all shut down the second season. Thank God, though. I was out of control. Toronto's a beautiful place with beautiful people.
It certainly
yes,
is.
Yes, it is.
It certainly is.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
I forget what we were talking about.
Okay, what do we want to do, Dom? You help me. Do we want to talk about Shadowhunters, or do we want to get Isaiah to Shadowhunters first?
I like how you just got us out of that conversation.
Oh, this is half of my job on this podcast, is bringing Dom back from tangents. That's all I do all day. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. I have my cheat sheet in front of me, too. It's right here, and I keep looking at it, and I go, I'll ask that in a minute.
So before we get to the beautiful people in Toronto, let's talk about you and what brought you to Shadowhunters. So you...
Yeah.
Played in the NFL, you did this Old Spice, amazing everything, and worked so much. But then when you first got this audition for Shadowhunters, were you aware of it? Had you seen anything about it before?
I had no idea what Shadowhunters was. I couldn't tell you what that or the Mortal Instruments. I had no clue. Mm-hmm. I know this much. I was doing some like guest stars here and there. But I mean, at that point, the popularity from Old Spice had kind of like dwindling and waning. I had a lot of time because I wasn't really working consistently, but I was still their brand ambassador. I still am, but I just wasn't doing anything that I wanted to do. So I was doing a lot of writing. I was like, you know, built a hockey rink in my garage. I was doing a lot of shit that idle hands, you know, you just had a lot of shit to do. So Allison brought me in for a sitcom and this is how fucking off I was at the time. Like, I just wasn't, like, shit wasn't lined up for me. I didn't read the sides, and I didn't notice that the sides were sitcom sides.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying attention. So when I went in there, and it was like a full on, like, it wasn't a test. It was like right before the test, you know, like, so you had the producers and I think it was like Tori Spelling or somebody like that. And, you know, I go in there to do the audition and I just like, I read it like, you know, a 30 minute comedy. Like, and then she like looked at me and she laughed and she was like, oh, that's funny, but read it like a sitcom now, you know, like, and I was like, oh, that wasn't a joke. I did that. Like, and I was like, oh shit. Like, and I went outside and then I, you know, you're just nervous at that point because you're like, fuck, I fucked this up. And I went back in there and I tried to put jokes in, but it just didn't. I didn't read it right. Needless to say, I didn't get the job. And I thought I embarrassed her is what I felt like. I was like, oh, fuck, she brought me in. And like, I just totally didn't do it. So when she brought me back for Shadowhunters, I was so appreciative that I like overstudied and like got shit down, you know? So I went in there and really nailed it. And then I got a test for it. Fucking D'Addario.
Whatever is about to happen is great.
Fucking Matt, man. Like, okay, first of all, like he's sitting there in the waiting room, you know, during the test, and there's like a couple other dudes, and he just like staring at me, you know, he's like, you know, staring and staring, and he just this like look on his face. He's like, I can see he's summing me up. He's like, you know, he's like looking me up and down, kind of like, And I'm like, what the fuck is this kid looking at? And so then I look at him and go, damn, he looks familiar. They're like, who is this kid? So then we're both like summing each, you know, just kind of like, you know, measuring each other. And I'm like,
eyeing each other up.
And finally, yeah, exactly. Finally, I just go, do I know you? Like, do I know you? And he's like, no, but do I know you? I'm just like, well, no, I don't think so. He's like, okay. You know, like full on Matt. And I'm just like, what the fuck is that? You know, yeah.
What was that?
So that was, it was weird. Like, so it was just kind of weird. And then like, I went to the bathroom and trying to get ready or whatever, kind of calm down. And then I was going to go in next and I'm leaving the bathroom and my fucking pants got caught on the door handle.
No.
And they ripped. And it was just like, and so I had this like, you know, maybe like a 6-inch like gap from the pocket area of my pants. Thank God I was wearing like dark gray pants and I had like dark gray like underpants on. So like, yeah, I mean, if you looked, you could tell. So I walked in the test and the only thing I could think of was like, fuck, I got to like twist so they don't see this pocket. And that's like the only thing I was like concerned with. So a lot of the scene was done with like one hand in my pocket and the other hand gesturing.
Listen here.
So I must have looked like I was like super confident, like, yeah, so anyway, you know.
Well, like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I think sometimes when like everything has gone wrong up to this point, you're sort of like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Like what more can go wrong here? Like, who gives a shit? Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're focused on these other things, like you don't want a ball to pop out or whatever. And so the performance is just like a natural thing that happens. It's like an organic thing that happens. Man, yeah, I should tear my pants more often.
Absolutely. Oh, but needless to say, that went on. I got the job. So, and then later, when they announced the job, I was flying to like the smallest convention in Canada for something, for Old Spice, actually. And that was announced like as I got off the plane, and I was like, my phone was like blowing up, and I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, so,
oh my God.
So, like it was even like tweeted or something. Like, I had no idea. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And I tweeted at Matt and I was like, I saw it because we both got announced at the same time. So tweeted to him. I was like, I go, I bet you know me now, you know? Yeah. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then also, you guys remember like our schedules were just like constantly in flux, like constantly. Yeah. Like it was always you never plan shit. Cause like, it's funny because I think it's just because the weather in Toronto is so wicked, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I literally just got a call from the second AD. I was like, ooh, I'll answer that a little bit later. We'll see what that's all about.
But, oh, no. Yeah.
Might be having a go in a half hour.
Yeah.
This is what happens. But, you know, we all did get cast very quickly and get shipped up to Toronto super quickly. But I'll never forget the first time I met all of you because you all were already there. And then I arrived and we all went to dinner. And it was such a cool thing to meet all of you all at once. But that was your first time meeting all of us as well. So, you know, you are meeting all of these kids that are, you know, so fresh off the boat, so green. I was being like, yeah, we're going to make a TV show. Isn't this cool? What do we do? What's going on?
But it was my
on?
First series too. So, you know, I was just as green as you guys. I was just older. That's all. So, you know, it just,
that's true.
Yeah, I was...
That was your first. Yeah, yeah. That was your first series reg.
That was my first series regular. I had done some pilots. Two pilots where I was a series regular, but they didn't get picked up. So
that's wild. That's wild that's to me because you did come across like a consummate professional. Like you've been, you know, you've been series regular 100 times before. That's how it read.
Yeah,
I think when you do some pilots and they don't go, you kind of, you know, you it feels like because you try to develop that, you know, that camaraderie right away, then everything, and you try to like, you know, attack it like you're going to be doing this series for years and years to come. And then they give you a call, like, they didn't pick it up. So you're like, okay. Oh, well.
Their loss.
Well, speaking to that, that was one of the first things that you imparted to all of us. And I'll never forget this from that dinner. That's the one thing I really took away is you and Harry kind of sat us down and went, look, you know, we could be doing this for 5-10 years if we're lucky. Yeah. And we have a choice to make right now. We can be friends or and have fun or not. So let's get along. Let's be friends. Let's do this together as a team.
Or we could be doing it for, you know, 13 episodes.
This is what we all thought for a second. They held us for what, 6 months after season one? Like it was down to like the I remember it being like the week.
It was literally the day that our contracts expired.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. What's crazy about the second time around here now doing this show here is that I walk into places and I have immediate Shadowhunter memories. Like I like, oh, that's right. This is where Ed took us when Ed was no longer our showrunner. That cafe is still there, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
The place where we had dinner the first time, it's called Marvin and it's like down the street, you know? And I'm like, oh, that's right. There's that place. Rock and Rodeo. I walked past there the other day. You know what I mean? Like the Burger's Priest, you know?
Oh, the Burger's Priest.
Like late night.
Right. Jacobs.
Late night Jacobs. Unrivaled Jacobs. It's funny you mentioned Ed. When Ed sat us down, he took me to coffee. He sat me down and I'd like just been broken up with. And he was like, you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good, man. I just, my girlfriend broke up with me. And he's like, oh, well, you just got dumped and I just got fired. Okay.
He's like, he's like bring it in.
Oh, man, how funny.
Oh, goodness gracious. Speaking of old memories and walking into Shadowhunters and being back in Toronto, what was your first memory from set?
Oh, you remember when we walked into the studio? It was a sausage factory before, you know, and we walked into the second studio where it were like the Chinese restaurant and Magnus's stuff was.
Yeah.
We walk in there and there are all those fucking slot machines. You guys remember that? Like they were off to the side. Like that's for some reason, I always think of that. I'm like, what the fuck was that doing in there?
Yeah, you know, no
like,
kidding.
It was weird.
Yeah. Like that's who? Wild. What sort of underhanded like backdoor deal did we get the studio with? Like, are we sharing this with the mob? What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
this is insane.
Don't ask questions, dumb. Don't ask questions. Don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about the slot machines.
Totally. I think about that shit all the time. Like, I'm always like, damn, that's weird. Yeah,
wow. You know, it was
like,
weird. Yeah, season one, there was a lot of weird shit about that studio. Like, remember the dust? Like, how it was grimy. Oh, the whole place was grimy.
If you saw it now, you would flip out. You would be really? Like, what
no
the
way.
Fuck? You, yeah.
It's like spotless.
Every single, like, corner of that studio now is designated for something, like, purposeful. You know? Like, it's nice. Yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so weird. Except, you know, except for the fucking gym that's no longer there. That's the only thing that I'm like, the gym's not there. Yeah, it's sad.
Like
it's like
stunt training room or that tiny little gym.
The stunt training room. Fuck. It's so disappointing and so depressing because you're like, seriously? Like that was like the funnest part of this thing.
Yeah.
It kept us all sane
and happy.
Yeah, totally. Like it's empty and nothing's in there.
Hockey rink. Wait until it gets really cold, flood it. Open up the doors, let the cold in. All of a sudden, you got yourself like, oh, I don't know what happened here, man. This is crazy. It must have leaked. Well, oh, these skates.
Now you have an ice
this
ring.
Was I just happened to bring my skates in with me today. I don't know.
They're all. I'm always on deck.
Yeah. Or just bring in like 2 dumbbells every day, and then really just like assemble a gym.
Slowly load it up.
That's really funny.
You'd be like, what? I don't know. I just found all this here. I didn't bring it in.
Or stunt. You know, like stunt Steve left all his equipment there that one time. Like I have no idea where that is. Yeah. Like,
that was
it's in the basement. It's in the cellar.
mental. Yeah. Like I was fully waiting. So for people who don't know, we had one stunt team in season one and then a different stunt team in season two, which I think we've covered in the podcast at some point. And then the original stunt team just kind of didn't leave. So they were still like there while we were filming season two with the new stunt team in there. And we were like in lunch every day. And I remember it being like a Matrix moment, like fucking Mouse is going to come in and be like, they're fighting, like Morpheus is fighting Neo. And we all just throw our food away and like run into the stunt room and see what's going on. But
that's so funny. Happened. I would have loved to have seen that fight, dude, by the way. I would love to have seen that fight.
I think it would have been over pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think so too. But it would have been interesting. Man.
No kidding. Yeah.
To bring it back a little bit. You know, something we've discussed with Alberto on the show and we discussed with, you know, a few other folks. Those of you who were the first to play a certain downworlder or a certain, you know, creature on the show got to establish a lot. And you got to establish the werewolves.
Yo, I mean, honestly, like, it's so frustrating because I'm like, I love Todd and Darren. I love Ed too. But, you know, the attention paid to the character of Luke, not so much. Which I get it. Like, I mean, I understand. But like, you just never, like, where did he live? Did you ever see his apartment? Like, you don't know where he lived, you know? Like he just kind of like roamed in and out. You know, you saw his
somewhere
desk.
In Manhattan, apparently. Yeah, you earned a lot of money for a cop because you were always right fucking there. Like, as soon as we needed you, you just popped
had a nice
up.
Car, you know? Yeah. Like, but you didn't know where he lived. You know? Like, it was just interesting. So I always thought, you know, there was some attention paid to the werewolves and like also Maya, which, again, I understand that too because her character kind of comes in and does, you know, she's like kind of integral with Simon and everything. Yeah. But Luke was kind of like flapping, you know. He was good. You know what he was good for? He was good for exposition. I would come in, I would say, well, blah 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 blah, and explain something and take us. I was a bridge. I took us from here to here, and like as long as you know your role and like you're like, all right, so that's my role. And I had to figure that out. I figured that out like beginning of the second season, and so I remember. The second block of the second season, Todd and Darren came out. They were like, we all had our little meetings with them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went in there, like I went and bought this like pile of wood and I walked in the office and I dropped it. And they were like, they're like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like looking at me. And I'm like, they're like, what's this? And I go, it's wood. And they're like, what for? I go, because we're going to have a fireside chat. And I said,
fantastic.
So they were like, they started laughing and I was like, I go, listen, guys, I go, here's the deal. I don't need much. Like I go, I need, you know, two or three scenes every episode, one scene every episode. That's fine. I don't care. I go, for me, it's all about longevity. So as long as you don't kill me off and you just want to throw me in here and there, that's all I care about. I don't care. Like, honestly, just put me in where you need me. You know, you don't have to worry about me. Just like, you know, one or two scenes per episode. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. And they pretty much stuck to that. So that was that.
They really ran with it. It seems like a waste. If I'm honest, it seems like a huge waste. Like one, you're in town. Two, you're exceptionally talented. Three, it's a lot of money to throw an actor to be like, we're not going to give this person an arc. You know what I mean? Like if you're getting series regular money.
That's what I thought. But then again, I was getting paid for it. So I was like, it's fine.
But also, you know, Dom and I talk about this a lot in the rewatches. Luke is the only capable adult in the gang.
And the absolute worst detective in the world. Like
a horrible detective. Just a horrible detective.
Terrible. Like, how does a dog detective not find things? Like, he just, like, was the worst. he had no idea where he was going. But, yeah, so if fans want to know, I literally asked them, like, hey, you know, you don't, or I at least gave them free rein to, like, do whatever they wanted to do. And I wasn't pushing up and going, like, I need more. I was like, look, this show is about the kids. You don't need, it's not the Luke show, so you do whatever you need to do. And I think that made them like, we don't have to worry about this guy. And then I remember when I got it, I was talking to Todd and Todd was all about it. And then I told him, I said, listen, like, I hope this goes well and everything. And we can talk about next season when next season comes, if we get next season. And I was just going to ask him, like, listen, demote me. Let me be like, you know, just kind of recur. And then I can go off and do something else. Because I was just like, there's no point in being in Toronto and not really working. So, and you can save money. You know, I had a whole like thing I was going to throw at him that was like, you know, cost efficiency of letting me go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, because there is a huge perk to it sometimes. Being, as you say, like being a series regular, you are tied into whatever this one thing is. You can't go and do anything else really. Versus you can really spread your wings and do other things creatively if you have the free rein to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I was up for that. I was looking forward to it. On this subject, though, like the only regret that I have, not even a regret, but it's just like I wish I didn't push Shadowhunters to like put a fucking mustache or get a goatee on me. Because like, God, my face when I don't have hair is like completely different. And like, it's like
so different.
Like when I watch, it's off-putting on Shadowhunters because it's like not Luke. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, that's a different dude, you know? So I just wish I would have told him that.
I remember in the script, we got the final scripts and I didn't know what it was yet because I didn't know you'd got it yet. And it just said in the script, enter Luke, uncharacteristically clean shaven. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? What's that all about? Like, why is that? why? It doesn't make any sense.
Because he has another job. But I'm really glad on a nerdy level that they let you do that job because you were the best TV dad ever and let me come to set and see the cistern and just watch for a day. Oh. And it was so cool.
Yeah, that was so many things have spawned from that job. I can't tell you, like, it's been so amazing.
Really?
Like the friendships that I made on that, like unbelievable. And like one of the friendships is actually like the sweetest fucking man, like who I actually learn a lot from, just the nicest person, fucking James McAvoy, man. He has been, I can't tell you how cool he has been, like ridiculous. This dude, we were out in London and you probably know it, Dom. There's this place, like it's like a Jamaican restaurant. It has this amazing jerk sauce. Ooh. And he walks us over to the restaurant, Lisa and I. He walked us there, sat us down. Like he knew the owner and everything. Sat us down. And he's like, all right, we'll be at the bar. So he left and goes to the bar. And it was so good. We showed up at the bar. And then I told him, I was like, man, I go, that fucking jerk sauce was amazing. It's the best. Yeah. We do something like, I think we were promoting the movie somewhere, and he shows up with like a case of this fucking jerk sauce.
Oh no.
And he's like, hey, here you go, buddy.
Aww.
I was like, man, like I can't believe you did that. Like he's like, yeah, he's like, that's, you have really no idea cool. how hard that was to get through customs. So
excuse me, Mr. McAvoy, why do you have a case? It was of pretty jerk cool. sauce?
He like he just walks awesome. Over to the table because he showed up to a dinner late. He walks to the table and he's just like, here you go.
That's so cool.
What a dude. That's amazing.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
We should talk about it, though, as well. Like, you, I feel very blessed. You took me and Matt to the premiere of it.
Yeah.
And I spent, not even joking, I don't know if I told you this, I spent the hour, like, getting dressed and, like, on our way there, thinking of ways to get out of it. Because I'm like, I'm not a horror movie guy. Like, I'm going to cry. And all of the creatives are going to be there. The other actors are going to be there. Like, I'm going to cry. Like, I'm going to cry. And then I think we ended up sat either behind or next to some of your producers. And they kept, like, I kept getting nudges, like, what do you think? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's fucking great. Oh, how much you want? Horrified the whole time. Yeah. Which is what you want from a horror movie. It worked, but it was, like, big screen. And I was just like, just don't piss yourself. You wore a light suit today. Just don't piss your pants, because everyone will know, and it's going to be super embarrassing.
No.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad you guys made it, too.
I was out of town. I was working.
I know.
So upset.
And I know you're upset. Yeah.
I was so upset. I wanted to be there so bad.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Really cool experience. What was it like filming it? Tell us everything.
Honestly, it was like the best summer camp I ever had. Like, I even like as an adult, thinking back, like I never laughed so hard in my fucking life. Like, I swear, like, goddamn, like Bill Hader just had me fucking on the floor, like
I'm sure.
Laughing my ass off, like all the time. Still has me laughing all the time. Like just random shit. And that's the cool thing. It was like, everybody there was so, you know, it was like talking to friends that you grew up with, like, your entire life. Like, they made the set such an accessible, like, place, and everybody felt comfortable with each other. And it was just so cool, you know, like, even like there were no flare ups. And even when people disagreed, like, even when we disagreed, we laughed about it later. Like, we called people out on it and laughed about it. And it was like, all right, you know, but there was no bullshit. Yeah. Like, it was so funny. Like, so much fun. There was one. I just remember.
Tell us.
Like, I would love to. I'll tell you later. But okay. There was one moment late at night when we, I mean, it was like 3 a.m. or something. And, you know, people get all squirrely and shit. One of us just blurted something out. And fucking we, like, everybody hit the, like, we just died laughing. Because it was like, what the fuck was that? Like, it's so funny.
We talk about that a lot with Shadowhunters too, though. The amount of night shoots we had.
Yeah.
I think
that's part
of what made us all so close, because you get to a certain point and then you just have no filter anymore. Just anything, any mask anyone's trying to put on is just gone, and you're just stuck with the squirreliest of
yourself. Yeah, you can't help yourself. Like, everybody has a point too. Like, you try to pull it together. Like, one time, Alan, remember that carnival that they built in the other side of the studio?
Oh, yeah.
So one time, Alan Van Spring, Dom, I'm just thinking about Alan. Like, just you had to work with Alan all the time.
Dude, I love that man desperately. But when you forget a line or where you are, normally you look off and you say line, and there's a script supervisor there who's on top of it, and they will feed you your line, and you go back and you do it. Alan does this thing. I'm going to move the mic away a little, because he goes, fuck, line, thank you, fuck. Yeah. But like, you could be an inch away from him, and you're like, this is crazy.
Dude, he had me laughing so hard. So he has this, you know, like, kind of like, if you don't know him, he has this kind of like gruff, you know, stoic kind of like thing about him. But if you know him, you know, he's you know, just like us,
he's
like
teddy
goofy
bear
and shit. Yeah. So he never shows that on set, though, rarely. Like, he shows it to you like off the side, but he won't show that in front of the crew or anything. So one time we're in that carnival set, and we're supposed to come running in, like, me and someone else. I think it might have been me and you, Kat. Like we're come running in, and he's got somebody, you know. So Hastings was directing, and he's got this wind, like, that's like fucking like blowing and shit. And he's like, I'll never forget. He's like more wind. Like, he's like yelling this to people. Which is like, who are you, Cecil DeMille?
I need more wind for my performance.
Yells it, and Alan's like there, and then like I run in, and like I can't hear shit because this wind is going like super, super blowing, and I just totally missed the cue, like, didn't whatever, and then he's like, what's going on? Like, line, like Hastings is yelling that, right? And then finally, just like Alan's like right next to me, and like he goes, cut. And then Hastings is like, you got to say the line. And I just go, man, this fucking win. Like, and Alan lost his shit laughing. He looked at me like what? Like, he just died laughing. And I was like, why do you think that was so funny? Like, he thought that was the funniest shit. And then like every time I saw him after that, he would just come up and start giggling. And he'd go, the fucking win. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
You just like never know. Shit. You never know what's going to get you on set. It could be the weirdest, like the three of us Adam Harrington. And we had a very expositional, like not funny scene around a dinner table in the Chinese restaurant. And something got us. And it was like, you can rewatch the scene. Go back and rewatch the scene. Every single one of us has like a tear, like a floating tear.
Oh my God.
Because they had to cut between us. So that the camera is not on any one of us for more than like a second and a half.
None of us are making eye contact the entire scene.
It was something about that Chinese restaurant that made everybody start laughing. Like David Castro, yes. I'll never forget. Like David was like, you know, he tried, he's a thespian, you know, he tried
super pro, shit. Yeah.
Go, yeah. So he starts laughing. I start laughing. And Peter DeLuise was our director.
Mm-hmm.
I start laughing. And then Allie starts laughing. Allie, who played Ollie, she starts laughing. So we start laughing. Take two. We start laughing. Take three. And then so Peter like comes over and he's kind of laughing and he's like, okay, guys, come on. And he's like, he's laughing too, but he's like, let's keep it together. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He goes off set and David like he just looks up and he's like, don't fucking do it. and like, I just like, I couldn't take, I like, I fell out. And I'm like, you can't do that. Like I was fine until you did that. Like, what the fuck?
You made it real.
Sometimes you just catch the giggles and you just can't stop.
Oh man, but run with it. Yeah.
Sometimes you need those moments on set, though, because we're doing, totally. You know, high stakes, blood and guts all the time. Sometimes you just got to laugh and then refocus and get it back. Oh, goodness. But okay, can we talk about the other extreme of that, which is another experience that the three of us shared in a very unique way? I was asked to keep it a secret from you guys. I literally was contractually obligated to keep it a secret from you guys, so I couldn't warn you in advance.
I know what we're talking about.
So Freeform did a bunch of cross promotions with other movies, the movie The Ring, and asked me to come because they had seen both of your pranking antics on set for years at my dismay and wanted to give me a chance to, you know, have a little revenge. Do you guys want to tell the folks at home about what happened?
It was sus from the fucking beginning. It was sus from the minute I walked into that studio. Do you remember hair and makeup lady for some reason had like dyed black hands? I was like, the fuck's going on here? Like, this is weird shit. And then they like shuffled us into hair and makeup and shuffled us out. I was like, something's going on, man. I don't know what's happening, but I'm glad I've got Isaiah with me because he's big, strong man. Big, strong man. It was weird. From the get-go, it was fucking weird.
And Ed was too happy. He was like very like giddy about some shit.
He was so giddy. Well, they had me come in early and do like an intro for it. And then they put me in all the makeup and the wig and hid me in a tent in the corner. So I was there just standing in the corner trying not to make any noise the whole time as you guys came in.
And you know what was crazy? Like we both didn't realize this though, because both of us were sitting there watching this TV. But like we should have been like, why is there a curtain under the TV?
I have thought about it so many times since then, Isaiah. I can't even explain to you. Like, I've rewatched that footage. Like, yeah, obviously this is going to happen. Like, how the fuck can you realize that there? Who has curtains in front of their fireplace? Like, what the fuck is this set? This is mental. Like, of course this is going to happen. My reaction is so genuine and so pure. If you rewatch the footage, my foot is up on the table and my reaction is, and I fortunately didn't give it everything, my reaction was to boot the table at whatever this thing was that was coming at us. Because in my head, I was like, survive and just fucking kick the shit out of it.
For folks who haven't seen the video at home, they showed these two gentlemen the scariest 8 minutes of the new movie and then had me come out dressed as the monster screaming from underneath the TV.
By far scarier than the first 8 minutes of the film.
100%. Yeah. That was horrific. Like, I'm having heart palpitations just thinking about it.
I think that was some of the best acting I've ever done is pretending that that movie was scary. And that's probably what led up to the fact that, like, I was so scared when you popped out, because I was like, holy shit. Like, I wasn't prepared for it. Like, I was totally like trying to, you know, give them what they want for this promo. And yeah. Then suddenly, like, UK, I was like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah. Bravo, Kat. Bravo, Ed and your team, because you really did get us.
Not Ed Dechter, by the way.
Different Ed.
But you two got your revenge. You know, you get that. Got your revenge moments later.
You really set the bar quite a bit higher, if I'm honest. Like, I started pranking everybody at that point. I was pranking Alberto.
Like, bets were off.
No kidding. Like, I put like 150 of my headshot. You know, I got them all printed out and like Xerox, and I put them all in his trailer, like under the toilet seat and like in every one of his drawers. I put them in every single piece of his costume.
That's amazing.
Then like a month and a half later, they were like, we're switching trailer teams, and the trailers just went off to some other production. He was like, I found like 80 of them. I was like, fuck, dude, there's like 40 of my headshot just in some random person's trailer.
Random
somewhere.
Actor doing yeah. 12 monkeys. He's like, what's this?
this is Dominic so Sherwood. Yeah. Didn't you put a picture of your butt in there at one point too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pre the tattoo though, so no one could know it was mine. There's no
way. I see.
Speaking of tattoos, you guys, I remember you guys getting those tattoos also after the first season.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at the time I thought was crazy, but now I'm like, oh, I get it. Like, you know, at the time I was like, we don't have a second season. But, you know, I was like, oh, like, holy shit. You know, like, this is crazy.
A couple of people at that party got the tattoo done who were not included in season two.
I remember that. The stunt team. Yeah. there was a situation
I felt
there.
Bad about that.
That part, oh, man. Those parties were debaucherous. They could get crazy.
They really were.
Yeah, I remember I was leaving, and there was someone who was like, actually, they were asking me to leave with them, and I probably would have left with them. But Harry, like, just like grabbed me by like the collar. He's like, "Get your ass up! Like, you're not going. You are not going there." He's like,
good,
"I'm not going to let
Harry.
You do that." Yeah, that one right there was, because we went on to work with that person like for two more seasons. So it would have been absolutely like embarrassing and like weird, you know, working with that person. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Back to Isaiah's dating advice from 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, do it.
But it was great.
Have a Harry.
Yeah, always have a Harry. I need that on a t-shirt. Always have a Harry.
Always have a Harry.
Oh, man. But, you know, we did really form a family, and we were able to do the show for 3 years, you know, 3-4 years together. And even we talk about this all the time. When we were shooting the series finale, you weren't even working that day, and you came on the very last day to just hang out while we were doing the wedding.
There's no way I was gonna miss that. Like, I was like, I like wrapped and then just shot on over. I was like, fuck yeah. Yeah, no, I'm definitely closer to this cast than any other, like, as a group, this cast, more than any other cast I've been with. Like, I mean, honestly, like, I did a short with Imrod. Like, it was like a pandemic short because I had nothing else to do. And she lived down the street. And I was like, yo, you want to come shoot this thing real quick?
Yeah.
No way. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes. It's like,
No, but it's awesome that you can rely on these people. You know what I mean? Like, we did develop this group where I think we all have a comfortability with each other, where it's like, actually, I think this person would be perfect for this. And like, I've suggested, I think all of you guys a couple of times for something.
I have too, actually. Yeah. I've done that too. Like several times. I'm like, check into this person because this person might be exactly what you're looking for.
I've done the exact same thing many times.
You try.
I never got that job. So I obviously went in an audition and just fucking bombed.
You're like, it's not happening yet. So you try harder, Isaiah.
Yeah. Just if you could keep pushing me, because I'm not very good at what I do. So I just need people crediting me. That's what I need.
Oh no, that's a lie. You're very good at what you do. As I said, I said this last time in text with you guys, I was like, you definitely put the asses in the seats.
Indeed. So
that's sweet.
Isaiah, the man of many talents, the man who does everything. What's up next for you? This show, can you talk about it yet? Or
let's talk about
it.
So it's called Cross. It's based on James Patterson's novels on Alex Cross.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's so Aldous Hodge plays Alex Cross, and I play his partner. He plays Hawkman in Black Adam.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of cool
you
shit.
You see me Googling? Is that time. It wasn't yeah. subtle.
No, nah, it's all good. He was also in Invisible Man. Yeah, he's been in some cool shit. He's the lead. Like I can relate with you guys now because I like this is probably the highest up on the call sheet I've ever been. Like I'm number two on this show, so I work every fucking day. So
yeah,
which I'm like, oh okay, this is a different. Like this is keep me out of trouble at least, you know. well now I'm not dating anymore, you know. And now yeah. it's you know I'm just out of the house now. But yeah, it's a cool series. It's about you know these two. Detectives who grew up together. They were orphans together and they're like best friends and one of them some shit happened and the other one's trying to help them out with it. So
that's so exciting.
We'll see how that goes. It's going to be on Amazon first season. We'll see what happens with the second season, right? I mean,
that's right, fingers crossed. Do you have a that looked like watch. I just gave you the finger. Yeah, I just saw it. This is me trying to cross my fingers. But I'm crossing my fingers. I just didn't get it all the way around. I just went, yeah, fingers crossed.
I like, did it too. I went double one time.
Terrible. Ago, yeah. That was bad. I apologize. Goodness. I meant fingers crossed. That's I can't do it. There we go.
There you go. Good job.
Do you know when it gets? Do you have an air date?
I think sometime next year. I don't know exactly when. I know.
Okay.
Probably a year from now, maybe.
Cool. All right. Well, keep an ear to the ground, folks, posted. For Cross on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it should be cool. But yeah, I'm fully bearded from that. Of course, the grays aren't in the show. But
dude, I'm starting to hit my grays as well, man. I got a couple. Like you got. I think you got to like. Embrace them. It's suiting you. You look fantastic. I think, yeah, this is, you know what you do? I think you have to like think of it this way. You especially is like young men want to look like you and have done now for like years and years and years and years. You know what I mean? So instead of seeing it as like, I don't know how I feel about this, like you're trend setting. That's what you're doing. Like you're telling people like, that's what I'm going to look like.
I remember, I'm going to say this. I don't think I'm out of school in saying this about Ed Dector. I remember when, before we start shooting Shadowhunters, I was like all into like creating the character. And I was like, Ed, what do you think about having a gray streak down like the center, which I have now, down the center of my beard that, you know, because he had it in the movie, he had a gray streak. And Ed like very quickly was like, we're not doing anything the movie did. I was like, okay.
Got it. Okay. Understood.
I was like, okay. Yeah, and that was it was like a quick conversation, and the manner in which he said it was like, I will not bring that up again. Got it.
Got it. Nope. Got it. Got it.
Case closed. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, totally.
The tone can do. Well, on that note, we don't want to take up any more of your time, but dude, this has been awesome. Worries. This has been so much fun to reminisce and reconnect.
If you guys ever do where you bring people back for specific episodes, there was an episode where I was living in that hotel. It was the beginning of
literally my favorite. It's my fucking hell. 3. How did we not talk about this? Fuck it. We're going to keep going.
Yeah.
It's my favorite performance of yours that I got to be a part of.
Was this like, this
it was so fun. Yeah.
Like it was the spider's web thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it was so fun.
That was, and like, it was such a fun. Like one of those, because I've seen you do, that was in season 3, and I've seen you do as we all did sort of the same thing. Like you have your character down. We know who Luke is. We know this. And one of my favorite versions of, anything when you're in a TV show long enough, I say this about Emerald as well, like when Izzy was on drugs, that was a really cool thing to see, because it was such a departure from the normality that we understood as these characters. And we got to see you like at a loss, like completely broken, completely erratic, like completely at a loss. And it was my favorite thing working with you. And it's one of those fortunate moments as a scene partner. I didn't say very much at all in that scene, and I got to just watch you do your thing.
Yeah, but that actually helps. You know, I mean, it really fosters an environment that you can, like, you know, you can build upon.
Totally.
Feel that moment.
But for all I'm saying, for me, is like as a performer, I just got to sit and watch you do your thing and just be like, fuck, this is good. This is really good.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
This
Thanks.
Is really good Thank shit. You. I can't believe that scene didn't come up. We should. When we get to that that episode, we will absolutely bring you back on, because that was released. And then all of the fucking climbing gear and like all of the mountain stuff.
Oh,
the
that
snow.
Shit in the snow?
In Syria,
looking at that jacket, because I got that jacket. Yeah,
you did. I wish I had it, man. Matt made me aware of this, though. This was funny. Matt made me aware of this. We had like ice climbing picks and like ropes and all this stuff. And I think we'd gone off to Syria. That's where you were being. Was it Syria?
Yeah,
where you were being held. Siberia. That was it. Siberia. Yeah. And Matt was like, "No mountains in Siberia. Why you got all that shit on?" And I was like, it's a solid point. I don't know, man.
Thanks, I don't know. Matt. They're New York Shadowhunters. Yeah. But I do remember watching you guys shoot that, and it was like Baywatch in the snow. You just guys were just perfectly coordinated and running. Yeah.
You can't sprint with snowshoes on, man. Just can't do it.
No. Well, on that note, just thank you so much, Isaiah. You've been such a huge influence, not only on the Shadow Fam, but on both of us. I can't thank you enough.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much. Before we all tear up, thank you.
Thank you again, buddy. Anytime. Take care.
You got it, guys.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Dominic Sherwood, and Catherine McNamara. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producer is Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. And our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey, performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara, and the episode was mixed by Seth Alansky.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.